Welcome into the Level Up Experience. This was a previously recorded LinkedIn live stream with Ben Pfefferman, CEO at Amuka Esports, on October 13th. This was actually Ben's third time on the show, so it's always fun to catch up with Ben and the Amuka team. Now, full disclosure, to get the full effect of this show, you'll need to go to the Level Up Experience YouTube channel, which I'll put the link in the description to the VOD, because we play Fall Guys. Now, luckily, Ben shares his screen. He crushed me, so no one really got to visually see, you know, how bad I did, but it was a lot of fun. But we do go over some of the news around Amuka Esports. Ben talks about the reopening process over the last several months for the Toronto and Windsor hubs for Waves Gaming and Easy Mode. We go over the recent acquisition of High Performance Motorsports, and we also talk about the multi-event partnership with Corsair, and also just dive into some general esports news as usual. Before we jump into the episode, I do want to thank GG Locators for sponsoring a Level Up Experience. So here's a word from GG Locators and then my discussion with Ben Pfefferman, the CEO at Amuka Esports. Whether you're a AAA gaming studio looking for top-tier talent to add to your company, or you're an individual in the marketplace looking for an opportunity in esports and gaming, make sure to go over to gglocators.com. That's gglocators.com. Iris Moon, the director of recruiting, will be going over an opportunity in just a moment. Just want to thank everybody that's left a 5-star rating and review. That's how other people find the content, so it really does mean a lot when you fill in those stars, whether you're scrolling down on mobile or you have it up on desktop. Thank you all for taking the time to do that.
Hey everyone, it's Iris Moon with GG Locators. I'm here to tell you about an exciting new senior level material artist opportunity that my team and I are currently working on. We're working with a well-established independent studio in the live music capital of the world, Austin, Texas. I'm looking for someone who has prior gaming industry experience, a highly diverse portfolio, strong knowledge in Maya or other 3D software packages, and strong knowledge in Unreal Engine 4. This is a full-time opportunity and the chance to work on some awesome AAA titles as well as original IPs. If you're looking for a solid company culture and the ability to have your own ideas heard, then reach out to me today at imoon@gglocators.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Really quick, really funny story. I qualified, but we weren't live, so I guess that really didn't happen. So,
okay, we got to set some goals. I think like we should at least one of us try to make it out of the second round by the end of the show.
All right. That sounds good.
I think that's reasonable, you know. Should be able to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, guys, thanks for jumping on. Thanks for hitting that, smashing the like button. Really appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on LinkedIn. Let us know what you're doing, where you're coming from. We're, again, a little bit on the tech issue side, so we got to start a little late here. So I am going to go ahead and go into the invite because once I go to the invite, can't control both monitors. But I'm going to go ahead and jump into the party, and we'll start the conversation, man. So.
Awesome.
Gonna hit play game, and that should bring me into your party. I'll take a few seconds here to load everything up. It's been a while. I actually looked back; it was actually back in May when we had our last conversation, which has been wow. I mean, everything's happened so fast. I didn't realize it was like 4 months ago.
Yeah, man, May seems like a year ago. Yeah, totally. Wow. Yeah, where do we start from May? So much is going on.
Yeah, you know, I think initially was you guys were opening both up the Toronto and the Windsor location back up. Like it was right at that time. I think it was a couple weeks from then. So I guess we can start there about like that process of reopening and challenges, you know, positive, negative, what's happened since then?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, we were closed for however it was mandated, maybe three months or so. So we're now open at both of our locations, Toronto and Windsor. And we've definitely had to modify things. So, you know, health and safety is priority number one. So things look a little bit different here. When you come in, you get all your peripherals. This is the problem. How am I going to focus? So you've got such a great skin, by the way. Just like, that's me. That's like kind of what I look like.
Yeah.
I want to get that skin. Okay, let me focus. So yes. Should we jump in?
Let's jump in. I'm getting audio set up here. Make this okay. a little bit better. There we go. That's gonna help out a lot, I think. So very good.
Okay. So yeah, you come in, you get your peripherals, everything, it's all sanitized beforehand. You sit down, you got to wear a mask when you walk around. Once you sit down at your station, you could take it off. So we're open for gaming, and then we're still hosting all of our tournaments online, which is kind of a blessing in disguise because we didn't really do a lot of online tournaments, and it pushed us. And even though we saw it as a temporary solution till we can do LAN events, now we're like all in on online events. So.
Yeah, I mean, because we talked about it in May a little bit on that, because you're at the beginning of the transition. Well, not the beginning of the transition. You've done a couple of online events, obviously. But how has that changed since May? Some things you've executed on, some things that have changed, since then.
Yeah, so the business model is definitely very different from a traditional LAN event. You pretty much have to do free to enter. That's just basically what the market expects. So you now really have to be very sponsorship driven. So what we've done over the past really 90 days is to build up that sponsorship Rolodex and make sure we're engaging them for all of our online tournaments, showing them the benefits, whether it's Red Bull, which is a big sponsor, or Award Pool. We have Zowie and Corsair and Seagate. So getting these brands to understand the benefits of being in online tournaments, and then we can create an amazing gaming experience online.
Yeah, you mentioned Corsair. Talk about that multi-event partnership. That was announced pretty recently, actually.
Yeah, we announced it. Man, I have no perception of time, but
Yeah.
two weeks ago, I think, 2 weeks, something like that. Yeah, I mean, that was the opportunity to really work with someone, a company that knows peripherals like nobody else. I mean, Corsair, the chair here, my headset, everything. And not only are we going to do, traditional events, but what's really cool is we're doing the Corsair Gaming Zone. So we're creating three stream stations that are going to be soundproofed, where if you don't have a stream station at home like we do, you can come in here and really run your stream, run everything without having to invest in all the equipment.
Yeah, no, I was reading about it as far as coming in and creating your own content. I think that's massive because you may not have the availability to that, right? So being able to come in and having the technology to do it, to do streaming, to cut that up, make highlights of it, and kind of build out your content portfolio, I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's a huge part. People don't have the ability, don't have production studio space. So we want to make that all available to anyone who wants to come in to do it. So I guess for the viewers that are watching, I'll just want to intro. This is Fall Guys. 2 months ago, this was like the biggest game ever. It's still pretty big, but not as big. So
It's not to interrupt, it's fallen off. It's interesting, kind of the fall off. Obviously, it kind of had its viral moment. But all right,
Yeah, 100%. So
we're
this
going.
is a battle royale, but without killing each other, so to speak. So we have to race through this obstacle course. So you're seeing my screen, right? The viewer.
Yes.
So I'm the unicorn, and you can dive and every. Oh, this is the hardest part.
I
Gotta climb
know.
up here.
Getting through here.
Oh, and I forget the buttons. There we go. Okay. So the first, I think, God, Jesus, so frustrating. First, certain amount of people. Oh, God.
Commentating at the same time is
All right,
brutal.
all right. Dive, dive. Oh, okay.
If you're in chat, have you played Fall Guys?
There
Have
we
you
go. Oh, God. Okay. So the first 40 qualify, which will not be me, but
Me
a lot of other great, a lot of other great people are going to qualify. Oh, it's not looking good. Oh God, just I gotta do some more dives. Oh God, this has got to be painful for the viewers to be watching. All right.
Heather said, "Hey, how's it going, Heather?" Yeah, probably. Like we're concentrating at the same time and also trying to conversate. So y'all can't see my screen. Luckily, y'all can't see my screen. But yeah, your screen sharing your screen sharing your character. So
I'm
that's cool.
done. I've Did you qualify?
No,
No?
absolutely no, absolutely not.
Okay. Oh God.
I'm way
Oh
back.
God. Okay, this is, in golf, it's a mulligan,
I'm telling you guys, you probably don't believe me. I did qualify. I actually qualified before we jumped on here, so that was hilarious.
So where is Chris? Where are you? There you are. Okay, so we all fell off. We do not qualify, and we're going to try again. We're going to try again to qualify. I think now that I remember the controls.
Heather just said, should I have my kids hop on? So apparently her kids are really good at this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough game, man. It's but it's so addictive. Like I, you know, as soon as you get eliminated, let's go back here to the lobby. I just want to get right back in.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the second round, which we could watch, but we're not going to. So just, you know, one of the cool things about Fall Guys is, the characters are really cool. You can customize it. So I'll just show you as an example here. I can change my outfit. So I can change my color. Maybe I want to play green. Maybe I want to play orange. I can change the pattern. That's pretty cool. Lightning. I don't have any other faces, but I could change that. These are my outfits, so maybe I'll be a fighter, and I can change my lower to, there we go, little tutu. And that's it. That's what we can do.
Yeah, all the different little activations are really funny through here, all the different mascots and some of the branding you can do with it, and some of the companies that have gotten involved.
All right. If I don't make it to the next round, maybe we'll just talk.
Yeah, we'll try one more time. Yeah.
And I'll watch better people. But give me a couple tries here. It's nice that I like the battle royales are really great, and it's nice that there's something that's not killing, you know. So I think that's what made Fall Guys so popular.
Mm-hmm. There was a couple points in time where it had more viewers than just chatting. Which, if you're on Twitch at all, you know, just chatting is typical at the top, and it's really crazy to see that it was right up, you know, alongside of it. So,
for sure, like the top streamers were all streaming it. Like Tim the Tap Man had this whole thing where, like, you know, he could never win. So I think that's what made it blew up. It's like the 5 or 10 sort of tier one streamers all watching it. Oh, I just got lucky with a nice bounce there. Nice. Okay. Doing all right.
I have a chance.
Me too. I see you. I'm right behind you.
Go, 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 go. I have a chance. Go.
Yeah. All right. We both qualified.
Not yet.
Oh, you didn't?
Not yet. Oh, this is brutal.
Where are you?
So brutal.
I see you. There you are.
Come on. I need help from chat.
You're so close.
Go. Oh, no. Are you serious?
You didn't make it.
No. I was right at the very top. Wow. That was brutal.
Anyway.
I'm sure this is a different type of LinkedIn streams.
I thought that was you. There's another
So close.
Hippie guy.
Another perm. Yeah. Oh, man. That was brutal. That hurt. See, if you've ever played Fall Guys, like Justin in chat, what's up, Justin? I'm sure Justin saw that. I'm sure he feels my pain. So
let's see what's next. The one where you're rolling, like it just rolls and you got to move, that one destroys me. So hopefully we get a nice, easy level.
Oh, okay. And it's right because I'm not sharing my screen, so y'all couldn't see the pain there. That was brutal, right at the very top. Yeah, good to see you, Justin. Good to see you.
I could see you're so close. You had the last one. There was just one more obstacle.
So brutal.
Okay, we had the whirly gig.
All right, so all eyes on you now. All eyes on you.
All right, let's see. Let's see if we can make it out of the second round here.
Hey, what's up, Martin? How you doing? Asking about the panel at the combine this weekend. Yeah, we'll grab that in just a moment. Thanks for asking that. We'll grab that in just a moment after we watch Ben win and get to round 3.
Yeah, let's just see if he can get if I can get to round three or not.
Yeah, if you have a question for us, feel free to throw it in chat. We'll get to it.
All right.
Yeah, all nice, right. Nice, all nice. Right. That was nice. Clean.
Come on. Yes.
Good bounce.
All right.
Good bounce.
All right. Got a chance. Got a chance. There's always a chance. Always a chance. Come on. Now, do I go up? I'm going for it. I'm going for it.
Yeah, you got to go for it. Got to go for it.
No!
My daughter said, oh, man, he's in last place.
Oh! Okay, now that's just not okay. Come on, Ben. You gotta get your act together. You're so close. Come on.
You got it.
Yay!
Round three. Look at this on LinkedIn Live, all the pressure too.
Oh my God. Stakes are, what's the prize pool of this tournament?
Non-disclosed. That's great. That's hilarious.
All right, round three. Hopefully this is a team game. I like the team games. So some of them are individual.
And this is season two, by the way. I don't know if you play Fall Guys or not, or maybe you've heard of it, but it's there's a second season to it.
This is my first time playing season two, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much looks like season one.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really tell the difference. Oh, God, Slime Climb.
Yeah, Heather, he made it. He did. He made it.
All right. Here we go.
I told y'all Ben was going to come on here and put me to shame. All right, I put that in YouTube before we went live, so that's what happened.
What? I don't understand. Okay, I'm just going around. Oh! I didn't know the rules. Apparently, the slime catches up to you. All right. Okay. Good game.
All right. Gonna go back to main menu. Oh, man. That was great. All right. Gonna give me 1 second. Gonna reload some stuff.
No
problem. Yeah. Thanks for jumping in, Justin, Aaron, Heather. Thank you guys for jumping in and experiencing that. So close. I'm salty. I'm so salty right now. I did not do that. That was brutal. That was absolutely brutal.
Yeah. It's all right. Should we do another or what do you want to do?
I don't know. Heather said, you guys have some cheerleaders. So we got a crowd now. I almost feel like we have to do one more.
All right.
And do one more? We do one more.
Let's do another
Ocean's 11. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let me, you know, this, I mean business now. Okay.
I mean, you already made it round three. Yeah, I guess we have to. We're at this point, we're obligated now. So.
Okay, let's give it one more try. One more try. All right. My theory is we probably have inferior opponents right now. Because, like, no one serious is playing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon.
Potentially, right? So we can tell ourselves. All right.
You need to – yeah, you got to ready up.
Yep, 1 second.
Okay.
Got a couple things going on here, multi-screening here. All right, ready up. We're good.
I will point out on my screen if I see you in the race. I'll be like, oh, just past Chris or
– Yeah, I gotcha.
Vice versa.
Amongst everything else going on, trying to see where each other are at. It's like,
yeah.
Marie said this is getting serious. It is. And we got a little audience on LinkedIn.
All right.
But yeah. Let's get the LinkedIn.
You know, sometimes you can take a break from work to watch some video games. It's totally acceptable. We exactly. Do it all the time here.
Aaron said, get those beard muscles moving.
So I'm known for playing Fortnite during conference calls. That's my biggest issue.
Yeah. Your highlights are hilarious, man.
Thank you.
That you put on LinkedIn. I think the last couple were just like, I was laughing out loud. It was hilarious. It was cracking me up. All right,
let's go.
I'm qualifying this time. So
yeah, you're qualifying. You're qualifying. People ask me, you know, am I good at Fortnite? And the answer is no, I'm not good. But if you like really age adjust your skill, then, you know, I feel like I'm pretty good for someone who's 37. Same with this game. Like, I'd like to see everyone's dad beat me.
Oh, that was brutal. That was not a good sequence.
Oh, man.
I got a good bounce there, but that's about it.
Got a good bounce. Just got to get a good bounce. It's always hard to tell. Where are you?
I'm far back. I'm not grabbing the ledge for some reason.
Okay, this is the make or break. I got to get through here. No! Why do I even try that? It's like so impossible. Just go around like everybody else.
Yeah. Oh, it's not going to happen.
Oh! Should have just been more patient.
Aaron.
Okay.
Aaron, so there should be an index similar to inflation. Okay,
come on. Just wait. Okay, now I'm not even grabbing on because I forget the button.
Round over. Ouch. That hurt.
All good.
Yeah.
No problem.
Oh, man. Heather's cracking me up. Her daughter's giving pointers like throughout the. She said to dive through the middle and all this, like giving all these pointers.
You know what? I wasn't using the hang on button.
Right? Yeah.
There's a hang on button.
That's.
Man. So.
It is a delay. Oh, man.
Well, we might as well just leave it on so people can watch all the matches, you know?
Yeah, let's just do that. We'll leave that on. Well, that was fun. Justin's laughing at us, so. Yeah, that was very interesting. So, oh, man. All right, I gotta grab something real quick.
Sure.
To close this out. And then we'll be good to roll here. So, yeah, if you have a question, comment about a topic we're talking about, or you'd like to throw something out there for us to discuss, feel free to do that. LinkedIn or on YouTube. We are live on both. We're actually live on Twitter too. But the integration's weird on chat for Twitter, and we don't get the chat on Twitter. I have to figure that out. But yeah, if you have something you want to jump in, feel free to do so. All right. Let me end this real quick. We'll get rolling. Yeah, so we talked about the two locations, kind of the venues opened in Toronto and in Windsor. Also wanted to bring up, this was what, last week or 2 weeks ago, you guys acquired High Performance Motorsports, which is a leading iRacing eNASCAR team. Thought that was really interesting. I had, thinking about this, I think it was back in March when I had Velocity Esports on, Jamie McLaurin, and talking about what they're doing over there in the UK and what they did with iRacing as far as F1 and when they did Not the BotGP, and when they basically within a couple of days took basically a physical racing event, right, and then turn it into a digital experience. So that was back in March, and I think that eNASCAR got on your all's radar around May or so when eNASCAR was on Fox.
Yeah, you have Bubba Watson rage quitting and losing a sponsor. You have an F1 driver who didn't compete in the event and let someone else compete and got caught. So there's been some scandals that I think have also put the – actually, I think have been good news overall. Brings more attention to it. But, one of the reasons is, you know, for us, like, we don't have any non-endemic sponsors, like, you know, companies that are not in the gaming industry. And they don't understand – brands don't understand, like, what's a Valorant tournament? Like, what does that mean? Like, it's just hard to explain. So – NASCAR, everyone understands NASCAR, right? The car is going around the track. certain amount of laps, checkered flag, you win. So it doesn't need to be explained. And also, like, sort of the brand integration doesn't really need to be explained. This is the car, and we're going to put your logo on it, and it's going to drive around, and you're going to get this amount of views. So for us, it was really a way to get these non-endemic sponsors to come try out esports, try out eNASCAR, and hopefully they like it, and they'll come back and sponsor more esports events.
I've told this story before, but my stepdad's a huge NASCAR fan. I'm from Kentucky, so that should make sense.
Yeah, I mean, you're right in there, yeah.
Right in the middle of all of it. Kentucky Motor Speedway, obviously, I've been around for years. And, it's funny because my brother, for those that know, is a Smash player. I read in the Smash community. Like, you know, he's like, I would say he's like the third or fourth best Marth player in the world, like a top 60. He's like French top 60 or whatever. But anyway, so he's been down there for, I'd say, 6 years or so. My stepdaddy kind of get on him a little bit, kind of needle him. Like, you still playing those games? You still do, you know, still kind of doing all that kind of deal. And you know, he's known about esports because of my brother for years, but he just kind of like dismisses it. Well, you know, back when NASCAR was on Fox, when eNASCAR was on Fox, you know, he officially watched his first esports event, and he watched it. And we asked him, "How'd you like it?" He goes, "Oh, I loved it." So it's just funny how someone that you would never have thought would have, you know, even watched an esports event and enjoyed it. So
I think what's cool is that there's real crossover, like NASCAR guys who are in eNASCAR. Some of the top players can get into a real car and compete on a real race. The best NBA 2K player couldn't hit a jump shot probably if his life depended on it. So that's what I think is so cool, is like the game is so close to real life, and you don't have that in any other esport.
Yeah, and then like with not the Baja GP in F1 back in March, it wasn't just professional racers. It was content creators. It was simulation drivers all coming together. So that was really cool. So like content creators to Lando and then Lando Norris, like all in the same race. So that was pretty neat.
So I think, yeah, I think that's what's, you know, exciting about NASCAR. And I think it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be a tier one esport, I don't think, right away. But I really think it has the potential to be, like, you know, definitely up there, tier three and tier two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then go back to, you know, talking about, like, potentially, like, non-endemic brands, you know, seeing NASCAR and being able to kind of maybe, or just audience in general, maybe relating to certain titles more so than others because they understand the concept of the game or the concept of the sport in a understandable way, like for example, not just the skill cap, but also the awareness of understanding how a game is played and understanding gameplay when you care compared to League of Legends to NBA 2K, right? I mean, because you may know traditional sports, but it has no crossover knowledge into like League of Legends. But if you understand traditional basketball, you understand NBA 2K. Like I've been really interested like the last like 6 months of how that's kind of played out. Also with if you look kind of on the betting side of it, kind of what happened when like in March and April when you had a number of like so I think it was NBA 2K and FIFA had 40x betting that went up, and there was a number of reasons why, you know, traditional sports was, you know, went to zero, but you had that crossover. So all those kind of coming together, I just kind of get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I think the biggest problem for esports is that if you don't know the game, there's just no way to watch it. Like, at least in traditional sports, you know, I'm not into cricket or rugby or even soccer, but I could probably go to a game and I could, you know, more or less figure it out, you know, like it's not so complicated. But if you've never played League of Legends, you have zero chance to ever follow what's going on in a League of Legends match or Dota or even in first-person shooters. So I think, you know, the way that the broadcasters did a good job with poker, explaining it to the layman, same thing with esports, is that I think you need to be – the way – here's a good example, Fox. Like when Fox first did hockey, they had all this cool shit. Like they had a red beam that when you hit a slap shot, so you could see it, they had a blue dot around the puck. They put all those things so the average person, especially when hockey was trying to sell to the South, could follow. And that's where esports has to go. The sports games we'll always get. because you know sports, if you know basketball, you can follow NBA 2K. If you know football, you know Madden. But we're never going to follow these other games unless the tournament organizers and broadcasters really make it a point to try to sell it to them.
Yeah, I've been thinking, I've just been thinking about a lot of that a lot, just how it's, I also look at fantasy esports and how that's somewhat taken off. Like obviously it can be like esports one, the adoption with like DraftKings and fantasy around fantasy esports, but that comes with it comes with education though. Right. And it's kind of like the same thing, like all that's come together, and then legalization of sports gambling, things like that in the US in 2018, and how that's changed kind of the landscape up until now. And then how that kind of has a trickle down effect from traditional sports to esports too. So,
yeah, all those things will definitely help get sort of the non-gamers or more casual gamers into the scenes. But I also think, you know, we're watching Fall Guys. I think game publishers are also maybe creating games that are a little bit easier to watch and follow. You know, whether it's Fall Guys or even, you know, Valorant's a great example. Like, it's not the most complex game, or it's a lot easier to watch than you would think, given all the crazy abilities and things like that. So... Mm-hmm. Spectator modes and things like that are really important tools.
Yeah, actually, I love getting your take on a few things as far as like just macro news going on in the space.
Let's do it.
I'd love to get your take on the Guild Esports IPO and what's going on there. Obviously, you can take that a lot of different directions, but just want to get your take.
Yeah, Guild, it's an esports team that doesn't have any rosters. Look, you know, you have a big cash pool, which they raised, 26 million, 26 million US or something.
I think 26 million pounds.
Mm-hmm. So, they'll be able to make some big moves with a capital injection like that. But there's nothing really there. It's, you know, they don't have much of a track record. Their rosters are in games that arguably have poor economics like FIFA or Apex, things like that. But you have David Beckham. So you got a great brand ambassador. And as an investment, no, I don't think, I think it's trading at about 7.5 pence today, roughly, give it 7 and change. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't buy it now, but at some point when it trades pretty close to their cash level, it's probably good, might be a good buy.
So Esports Observer just came out with this, and I'm trying to grab the link for everybody so you can take a look at it for yourself. Actually just came out earlier today, from Tobias Sek. Guild Esports agreed to pay David Beckham $20 million before he became an investor.
Wow. There goes most of that cash. That's cool. Stock? It said cash? $20 million cash?
It's over a course of time. I'm pulling up this article here. So before Beckham became an investor of Guild Esports, organization entered into an influencer agreement with Footwork Productions, a Beckham-owned company that was set up for the exploitation of David Beckham's name and image rights. The five-year deal, which was inked on May 4th, compensates Beckham for becoming the face of Guild Esports with a minimum amount of 15 million pounds or $19 million during the term of the contract.
Wow.
The reason I bring that up is that's not a good look. Let me just say it like that. It's really there's a lot to this, you guys. And I also love having you on the show because we talk macro stuff like the financial markets too. Because it's hard. You shouldn't ignore the mainstream financial markets. When you're talking about a private company, like, you know, some people may say, well, esports is insulated. Well, no, it's not. Like, I don't really feel any industry is insulated from the macroeconomics of things. I'm on a tangent. You know me, but
it's a good point. So you have to look. It's always important to look at traditional sports. Mm-hmm. For the most part, in North America especially, pro teams and organizations are not publicly traded. Mm-hmm. They've kind of tried that. The Boston Celtics were publicly traded at one point. Green Bay has this weird structure of fan ownership.
Mm-hmm. The Braves, and but the like the Braves.
The Braves is Liberty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are like, and in New York you have MSG. So these are bigger conglomerates, mm-hmm. but there's not really direct exposure to the assets, to the franchises, because it's through these big companies, whether it's Liberty or MSG, or in Toronto, it's Rogers and Bell, or two telcos. And maybe there's a reason for that. I think that, you know, the value that you're going to get with an esports org, and for sure in traditional sports, is that asset appreciation. And that's not really going to reflect well on a balance sheet. So you can run a lot of red ink, which probably a lot of pro sports organizations are doing right now, and esports, but you do have a long-term asset that's hopefully appreciating. So that's why for esports teams to go public in particular, I think it's even more challenging because the optics of it are going to look bad. They're going to see all the operating costs, and you're not really going to be able to account for the asset appreciation, which, you know, in my opinion, in Call of Duty, you know, those slots are probably held their value or worth a bit more. And you have to hope that, you know, some of the ones in other leagues, you know, don't go down in value, which maybe they are.
Yeah, actually, I'm probably going to grab my screen and throw it up there for anybody that just kind of caught the tail end of that. Let me remove this real quick and share my other screen here for you guys to see what's going on. There we go. So there's that article, and I'll post that in the chat too. Yeah, so Aaron said nothing is invincible or totally not correlated to equity markets or to economies at large. Nothing is recession-proof.
Except cash. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. You know, it's so funny. It's interesting you say that too. There's a lot of interesting conversations around this, like macro, you know, the injection of capital the Fed has done, and the stimulus bill that, you know, the market is salivating over right now. That's why you had the gap up in the markets yesterday. You know, markets that you look at the NASDAQ, QQQ, SPY, it's all near all-time highs. And then you look at the real economy, it's not anywhere close, right? And unemployment rates and things like that. So you have a disconnect between the two, obviously. I think everybody understands that. But the capital injection, lower interest rates that continue to plummet to zero or negative. And the reason I bring that up is like, well, what does this have to do with esports? Well, I mean, when you talk about private markets, it has everything to do with it. Capital flow, where's capital going? And you mentioned cash, and that kind of set this off. You know, if you sit in cash, it's getting devalued. It's being devalued. And, you know, and some people get real kind of tic-tacky and don't like talk about this and things like that. But I mean, inflation at some point is coming. When you do this, it's QE infinity. When you do this, it has implications that, you know, I call it QE infinity. I mean, because it really is, you know, nothing's ever happened like this. It's nothing like this has ever happened in the history of mankind. So, you know, we deal with this, and there is no one really has the answer what it's going to look like in a few years, because we've never had to deal with it. So if you're a privately held company, it does affect you, maybe not today, but access to capital, when there's low interest rates, you're not just going to sit on you know, 0.5, you know, 550 basis point yield or 100 basis point yield. That, you know, you're going to go out and try to get more. That's just part of what the market's allowing you to do. The risk-free rate during the dot-com bubble, go back to 2000. Think about this. The risk-free rate back then was like 6.5%. You could get a guaranteed 6.5% back then.
That's a lot to clear. And I think that's maybe where, you know, if you assume, which you should, that esports companies are going to be a growth play. I can't imagine esports company ever paying a dividend in my lifetime. But so, yeah, I think there's definitely those outflows in certain sectors. But I think for esports and gaming, people are going for it. I think it's a good time. It's a good market. The companies that are publicly traded, more and more are going public. So we've seen even in Canada, companies like the Gaming Stadium, companies like ESC Entertainment, Luckbox, who else? GameSquare. So these are like very small market, you know, market caps, you know, typically under 20 million are going public. And then in the US, yeah, we're still seeing not necessarily esports IPOs, but definitely on the gaming side, Corsair, Unity, AppLovin's coming up. So it's a good market, Guild. So I just don't think if you're a pure team play, it makes sense to be public. But I think a lot of these other orgs are going to be much more than that. And even Astralis, where you could say it is pretty much a pure team play, like they're definitely going to start diversifying into other verticals.
Yeah, and Aaron went on to say, especially devalued if you guys keep printing money. Yeah, I agree with that.
Aaron, get back to work.
Arizona, on the Mocha team. That's great. That's great.
No, I always say that. No, I'm just joking here. No, he's the hardest working guy in this office. So he's a lot to watch.
Yeah. So anyway, it's all real interesting because maybe, you know, sometimes if you're in an industry, your outlook may be very focus driven. And then I think a lot of times you have to like just look at the bigger picture and look at like the financial markets. And like, you know, obviously the last 3 months it's been an IPO craze, you know, IPO fest the last 6 months. Obviously had the significant downturn in March and April. And then we've had, you know, kind of like the pent up, you know, IPO is ready to go. And then once the market kind of reset, then you have a lot of this influx, especially the last 3 or 4 months, like a company like, you know, like Lemonade, Unity, and some others as well. So all that's really, you know, I just like having you on talking about the capital markets, because I always find it interesting and then applying it to the esports space too.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, you know, sometime probably at the end of this month or early next month, we're going to get the Forbes list of most valuable esports orgs. And I think that'll be a really good tell of where the private market is heading. You know, last year, TSM and C9 were valued at around 400 million. So will they be able to sustain those valuations? And another story is, will a new org, in my opinion, I believe it will be FaZe, take over the top spot of most valuable esports org?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. You know, speaking of orgs, I think 100 Thieves pulled out of CSGO. Looks like I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not dive into that a whole lot. I just saw kind of the top end of it.
Yeah, we were really talking about that here. In general, like NACS is definitely getting weaker. So in a way, maybe it makes sense, or maybe there's a bigger play. Like I just don't understand why 100 Thieves would not be in Call of Duty. Not this coming year, because they already said no more franchises, but the next year, either owning a franchise or doing what FaZe did and sell the 100 Thieves name to whoever buys the LA CDL slot. That makes perfect sense for me. So maybe they pull out of CSGO and they're saving up their money for another big play. And I think it could be Call of Duty.
How do you like the 4v4 versus 5v5 for COD?
Makes total sense. Like, again, I tend to look at things more from a team owner perspective versus, you know, a fan. Four salaries is a lot better than five salaries. And so right out of the gate, I think owners would be happy with that format. I think, I mean, traditionally it was 4v4, so it's not like you're creating anything different. The players, I'm sure, are very unhappy because a lot of them are going to be out of jobs. But I think it's important for Call of Duty. The Challenger series was really, really shitty. So I think that they need to do a better job to promote. Is it Challengers or Contenders? Challengers is Call of Duty, right?
I believe so.
Challengers, yeah. They got to promote the development leagues and get people up there and create more of an ecosystem around that, which neither of them, I don't think Overwatch has done a good job also. But overall, it makes total sense. And I think Call of Duty will be much stronger. I think given everything they went through, they did a great job this year. I mean, they navigated it well. And again, relatively compared to other leagues, like they should be pretty impressed and proud with what they've done.
Yeah. So what's next for you guys? So, I mean, it's crazy that it's October. It's mid October. So I keep thinking like, you know, what's going on in Q4, and it is Q4. So
you're right. I got to send another update out.
So
for us, a lot of stuff I can't talk about yet, but I think kind of our core priorities is online tournaments. It is going to be on Teams, so there will be a big announcement soon about us moving into some pretty good rosters. And other than that, I think we're really just focusing on our core business and content. I think, you know, we're now, our content strategy is a lot better. Six months ago or a year ago, it was let's just produce the most amount of content we can and figure it out later. And that wasn't so successful. So kind of season two, we're now finding broadcasters that are buying our content or licensing it, which is great. And now we have the opportunity to start pitching new creative ideas. And, you know, for me, I used to be a film producer and I left the industry, in my opinion, too early. I kind of, you know, ran out of cash, ran out of the ability to be a starving artist. So I love that, you know, we're able now as an esports company to get back and telling some great and compelling stories and pitching new, new pitches and new show ideas.
Really cool. Aaron jumped in. You said go back to work. He said working on improving our value on the balance sheet right now. So he said go back to work.
That makes sense. That's what we got to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really interesting. Any events, tournaments you want to highlight that coming up?
Yeah. This weekend, so our big esports championship series is called Mount Phenom, which is what we kind of want to make is like the dream hack for amateurs or semi-pro players. So giving everyday people the opportunity to play for big money, major production, get that experience. So we've had League of Legends and a ongoing series in Warzone with a streamer called Mutex. And this weekend is going to be Valorant. So Valorant has always been doing really well for us on the tournament side. So check out Mount Phenom. There's going to be, it's all weekend, lots of Valorant happening. And other than that, other events, man, I don't know. We have lots of community events. We're launching leagues. So we're going to have, if anyone wants to join for an old person Fortnite league, you know, so like for guys like us, Chris, I think we're around the same age, right? You're in your late 30s, maybe?
Mid.
Am I close? Mid 30s? Okay.
Yeah.
Mid 30s. So yeah, just, you know, more rec leagues and keep building the communities. On the venue side, unfortunately, quite a few venues have gone out of business. So I think for us now, we're focusing that strategy on retail. So people aren't coming into stores. So let's bring gaming into stores. That's like kind of the idea. And they're doing it in the US with Esports Arena and Walmarts. So that's really what we're doubling down on is finding retailers that have too much space, no young people, and let's bring gaming to them.
Yeah, they're doing a drive-in esports experience here in Louisville. And I should know a lot more than I do about it, but I saw a highlight on that. I need to look into that more. So getting creative, I think it's, you mentioned that, just get creative with it. So I thought that was really a kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah, I saw that too. I didn't know that's in Kentucky. That's in your, yes, you should definitely check it out. But I don't know, it's not really something that needs to be drive-through. Like, I don't know, like, a concert, you can't have a concert. So drive-through concerts make total sense. Lesser extent, drive-through movies. But esports, we can already compete online. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe COVID's another 6 to 12 months before there's enough vaccine. So I don't know. If there's no upfront capital cost to put that on, maybe it's a good idea. But if they're putting money in for a drive-through esports arena or whatever, like, I don't know. Just don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and again, I got to look into it and get more details on it. I saw, you know, drive-in esports experience, Louisville, Kentucky. So
it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. So,
whatever that's gonna be. I probably shouldn't even brought it up because I don't have much info on it. But I'll look into it here locally and actually try to go check it out.
I admire, you know, the creativity, you know, that people are doing. But you know, it kind of comes down to like we're seeing really forms of entertainment crossover, right? Like Fortnite is, you know, the biggest music festival of the year is Fortnite, right? More people have watched a concert here than anywhere else in the world, right? That's insane. Like, no, we would have never thought that before. So the lines between film, between music and video games are all blurring. They're all coming together. And like, to me, that is so incredibly exciting.
Yeah, and me too. Having traditional athletes get involved. I mean, you just see more hats. It's just so much. It's just fun. It's just fun to see all that and to see all the events, like charity events are running and things like that. And then, you know, using their influence for good and for others. So I think it's been really cool to see that.
So here's my prediction, and anyone watching is welcome to steal this. So we've seen that crossover with athletes and gaming, which is cool. But the next iteration, politicians and gaming. Like, I want to see, our Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, I want to see him play. Like, I want to see him stream for charity. And like, even in the US, it would be so cool to have like Joe Biden, Donald Trump, if you're not going to debate each other, at least, you know, do a 1v1 box fight or something. Like,
I mean, do you know how many people would, you know, people would watch that?
Exactly. Like the ratings for, and it doesn't have to be the president, like even a senator, like to watch, I don't know, like whatever, whoever your senator is or your congressman or like all those people, like, isn't that so interesting to watch like your two senators face off each other for charity, things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all kinds of ideas. And then like an Animal Crossing, I'm sure you guys saw, you know, some politicians getting involved in Animal Crossing with their signs in the yards and stuff and things like that. So, you know, no one would have ever thought that even just a couple, you know, maybe a couple years ago.
See, that's the area where I think that's a problem. I don't necessarily like the political science in Animal Crossing, only because I feel like gaming is kind of a way to escape that. Like, you know, there's so much politics in social media and other places that gaming is maybe like a bit insular from all that stuff. And if you start putting political science in the game, I kind of think it detracts. But I like that politicians want to engage the gaming community, and they should be streaming. Like, they should be getting out on Twitch and doing all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for jumping in on YouTube and on LinkedIn. That's Josh is cracking me up in there. If you look in chat, talk. that's really funny what Josh just said. Aaron said, let's do a Guy Fieri TV special in easy mode since they added some food to their menu. Yeah, a little cooking show. They're in easy mode. Easy mode is the venue in Windsor. So.
If anyone's in Windsor, half price wings on Monday, on Wednesdays. Yeah, we got a great patio there. It's a great, great place to come, eat, drink, game.
Very cool. Well, here, I'll give you a minute for someone maybe popped in. Want to get in touch with Amuka. How do you, what's the best way to get connected with you guys?
Yeah, you could find me on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way. Ben Pfefferman, you could follow Amuka Esports. We're pretty active. I'm not really active on Twitter or other social media sites anymore as much. Maybe I should, but LinkedIn's the best way. Or, you know, if you want to find me on Steam, 5K Feff, we'll play some Fall Guys, or I don't really play a ton of games, but
yeah, we'll play some games. Like we attempted to do earlier.
should we end with one last game though?
We can try. You can set things back up here. I've got another setup going. Let me pull this up. But yeah, thanks for jumping on LinkedIn. That was, I don't know if we can recreate what happened and get to round three. That'd be interesting. That'd be fun. So I'll take your invite here and we'll be ready to roll. Okay. Yeah. Any other last questions or comments, feel free to jump in. We got a few minutes to finish with another Fall Guy, Bonanza. see if I can't get past round one, this time. I promise I did before we jumped on here. So.
You can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just get organized here.
Yeah, I'm doing the same as well. So
are you playing controller or are you playing keyboard?
Keyboard. And you're controller, right?
I'm playing controller. Yeah.
I haven't tried it. Yeah, and Karlinski jumped in. Karlinski Gaming says can't wait to stop by the Toronto facility.
So yeah, come by. We're open. Yeah, we're open.
For context, what's the hours?
Monday to Friday, Monday to Thursday, 2 to midnight. Sorry, Tuesday. Weekdays we're open from 2 to midnight, and weekends from 2 to 2 in the morning.
Gotcha. All right, we get the stream up. I'll try to pop in here. I'm having a little bit of a, looks like maybe a little bit of a connection, a little lagging here. You have to jump in yourself.
Yeah, should I just jump in?
Yeah, probably. It's take a little time to load.
Okay, so we'll just end with one last. I probably won't even make it out of the first round. So We can all go back to work soon.
Bitty
shot, but right? You never know. I'm gonna try the hang on button.
Right. They said go to. She said that was really funny. They said go to the left when you went to the middle. So.
Oh yeah. Okay. I don't even. Yeah. Okay. I'm just gonna play it safe. Hope I can make it in there.
Yeah.
Have you played Among Us?
I'm gonna jump on and do that. That's on my list for the week.
Same here. Yeah. Like I can't believe I haven't played yet. I'm like the last person on this planet to have played Among Us. So hopefully I'll get into it.
I just wonder what the kicker for it was, like what the sticking point was for it to explode like that. I mean, obviously, yeah, you know, influencers playing it and pushing on Twitch and stuff. I just wonder what that like moment was.
Yeah, like who first rediscovered the game? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That's a good question.
Because it wasn't. I mean, so maybe someone that doesn't know Among Us. I mean, it's not a brand new game. It wasn't like it was released and then like everybody went crazy about it.
No, I think it's what was it? It's like 3 years old or two or 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Okay, yeah, we have started.
There we go. Come on. Yep. We're doing good.
It's a great start. This is a great start.
Definitely a good start. Oh! No! No! Yes! Sometimes you get a good bounce. Okay, I'm still in it. Still got a good chance. Okay.
It's such a great way to end a podcast.
Come on. I'm going to go for the. Oh, mother.
All right, Aaron, see you, man.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going in the middle. Who told me not to go to the middle?
I don't know.
You got to go to the middle.
I forgot who that was. I got to scroll all the way up and see who that was.
I'm going for it again. You only live once. YOLO, baby. Yeah!
That was huge. All right, Aaron. Take care, man. Take care.
We're good. Okay. That'd be a little more. Yes.
Oh no. I wasn't even looking. I wasn't even looking at the top right. I wasn't even looking at the qualified. Yeah. Oh man, that hurt. Right. Trust me, it still hurt. I'm still hurt from not qualifying. I was like 2 feet away. That was brutal. that was absolutely brutal. Well, hey, this has been a fun stream. I can't wait to make this a podcast. So it'll be a really interesting podcast to listen to. Yeah, thanks for jumping on. Everybody on LinkedIn. Yeah, I appreciate your time, man. And Aaron and everybody jumping in, Josh, Karolinski Gaming, a number of other people that jumped in with comments throughout. So it'll be replayed. You can go back on LinkedIn on my profile. You can rewatch Ben get to round three. That's probably the highlight. Luckily, y'all couldn't see me not make it. So that was the low light. Yeah. you can't see that. So yeah, but thanks for jumping on, giving us a little update, man.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Yep. We'll see you guys in a little bit.